of all of our glory and praise and honor be unto him. 32. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his horn, his anthem reigns. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, God glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his song, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Good morning. Well, I didn't think the roads were quite that bad out there. I don't know. So here we are, and we are here to worship our King, our God, and our Father, and welcome. It is a beautiful morning. Some announcements, of course, that I need to go over before we go on with our worship service. Today, as you certainly should know, is our annual meeting today. I've been announcing it probably the last month. We'll have lunch, dinner after church, and thank you to the women of the church who've been working on that, preparing it. I believe it's hot turkey sandwiches, I've heard, and other things to go with it. So we'll have that, and you're all invited to stay for dinner. Hopefully most can stay for annual meeting as well. We'll start that at 12:45 today, and according to the Constitution, I verbally make these announcements, so that's why I'm doing it every Sunday here. So, nominations to the consistory are as follows. Ken Stepanek has been nominated to serve as elder, and that would be taking the place of Fred Schultz. Shirley Mettler has been nominated to serve as elder, taking the place of Donna Sattler. Tyler Miller has been nominated to serve as deacon, taking the place of Robert Heckenleibel. And then on the Christian Ed Committee, the positions of superintendent and assistant superintendent, those are voted on as well at the annual meeting. Mark Guthmiller, nominated to serve as superintendent, taking the place of Nicole Schaefer. And Lee Heckenleibel being nominated to serve as assistant Sunday school superintendent. As it says here, nominations are welcome from the floor as well. So just so we're aware of those, I want to make mention of this bouquet of flowers to my right. Beautiful arrangement there. That is in honor of Bruce and Mary Hondel's 50th anniversary, which will be this Tuesday. So happy anniversary to Bruce and Mary. Amen. Thanks for sharing those with us. We enjoy that. There's lots of other announcements here. I really just want to make mention of one other thing, and that was because last Sunday was Sanctity of Human Life. Of course, you see the offering to the Alpha Center, and we praise the Lord for that and for the work that they're doing. This is on the insert, though. They also have this Night to Remember, K-N-I-G-H-T, so a night to remember, coming up the end of February. And this is an evening for moms and their sons, sons who are between 12 and 18 years of age. So if you're in that category and want to do that, I'm sure it's a wonderful evening. You do have to get tickets. There's a little bit in there about it. You can go to the website, of course, to find out more details. All right? The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, Heavenly Father, as always, we come before your throne. We humble ourselves before your mighty hand. You are Almighty God, and what an honor and privilege it is to come before you, to come into this sanctuary together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to be in your presence, to worship together, to sit at your feet, to hear from your word, that we may grow. Lord, let us be as newborn babes, desiring the sincere, pure milk of the living word of God as we gather here today. And help us, Lord, not to be just hearers, but doers of your word. Father, on this day that is the annual meeting of our congregation, we pray for that meeting as well coming up after church. And thank you for all your blessings in the life of this local church. And we ask, as always, for your guidance, the leading of your Spirit, for decisions that are to be made. We lift that all up to you. Thank you for all that serve you, Lord God, so faithfully here. For you are a holy God. And as Isaiah the prophet said when he saw that vision of you in the temple, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with your glory. And let it be so, Father, we pray. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand for that opening hymn, which is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. There is none beside So he is. Praise the Lord. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, however you desire to do that, before you are seated. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here, and again to Bruce and Mary Hombel. Happy 50th wedding anniversary. Those years fly by, don't they? And here you are. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Couple updates otherwise that I have. Logan Clout, it was just this last Monday. It seems so long ago. But when we had the wonderful news of his tumor being benign, and then it was just the next day or day after that they came home. And I talked to Larry yesterday at the up at Clout's, and of course Logan's working on therapy on the left hand, and as far as there's some things, you know, with bright lights and that still bother him, which is to be expected with a brain surgery, but he's doing well, and we just rejoice with them so very, very much. Continued prayers for Terry Seiler. She, I think this was her chemo week we just finished, correct? And good. Amen. Good. All right. She came through that very well. Other times she's had some challenges. So praise the Lord. She has a great attitude, both her and Fred. So we continue to lift them up. Also, Jimmy Whale. I talked with Christina, his wife, this week. And so he is on hospice. But she did say if people wanted to visit, you can. She just said she would like a phone call first ahead of time. She is his caregiver, you know, just to, so she knows ahead of time so that she's not in the midst of changing him or all the things that have to be done. So, of course, Johnny Lori would have her cell number. I do too. Any other thing you wanted to say? Yeah, the house number two, you could call, or the cell, right. Right, thank you. So, just, she wanted to thank everyone for your prayers, certainly, for them both. A wonderful blessing. Okay, that's what I had down. Anybody else over here? No, okay, how about over on this side? Okay, Greg? Melanie Wilcoxon has a birthday coming up this, what, is it the 30th or the 29th? 30. Then it's Saturday. Okay. Happy birthday, Melanie. All right. Yeah, Madison. Yesterday was Nicole Schaefer's birthday. Happy birthday to you, Nicole. Okay, let's bow our heads, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Was there a hand up there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Patricia York, a lot of you maybe know her, passed away this week of a brain aneurysm. So we pray for the family, certainly. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for this morning, the sunshine, beautiful day, a fresh coat of a little bit of snow. We're thankful that it wasn't a whole bunch. And just the air is fresh, and we thank you for it. Lord, we do pray for the family of Patricia York. At her passing, we ask, Lord, her family and friends, that you comfort them during this time. And thank you for the life that was given to others through the organ donations as she chose to do that. Lord, for Bruce and Mary Hondel on their 50th anniversary Tuesday coming up, thank you for blessing them as they've grown in you and they continue to grow in you. We thank you for their children and the grandchildren that you have blessed them with. It's beautiful to see, and we just rejoice with them and thank you for the ways they serve you, Lord, in many ways. We want to pray, Lord, for Jimmy Whale, for Terry Seiler, as they're in treatments in various ways, any way of chemo, for cancer in their bodies. Thank you for how you're working in each of their lives, Lord, that you are holding them close and ministering to them. Thank you for their caregivers and helpers, Fred and Christina. Lord, give them strength through this journey as well. Father, for Logan Clout, we just thank you for such wonderful news to him as that tumor being benign. And we thank you for this recovery process now that you are just restoring life to his left hand and the movement of that through therapy. Be with them, be with Larry and Lisa as well and during this time. Father, we want to lift up our annual meeting this afternoon, and we thank you again for guiding and directing the life of this local church. Lord, we pray for our nation. Daily we do, Father, and daily we lift up and ask and thank you by faith for the work you're doing to bring revival, a great awakening, renewal to this land. We thank you for the transition that took place peacefully this week. And Lord, we do lift up President Biden as he serves and ask that you guide him, Father, in decisions. Your word, we pray this for every administration. Your word says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you direct it whithersoever way you will. So thank you for guiding as we go forward. Thank you, Father, for some wonderful things that were accomplished in the past 4 years, for life, Lord, for Israel, and on we could go. But again, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon this land as we so desperately need, and we know your eyes are upon us. For our troops, as they serve so faithfully, whether it's in the guards, whether it's in the full-time service, however it might be, those that are overseas, those that serve here at home, we thank you for them, Lord Jesus, and ask for your hand of protection upon them. Thank you for some of our youth, as they're considering after high school going into the guards, into the full-time service. We need that. Lord, I want to pray for our expectant mothers within the congregation. There's a couple that are coming very near their delivery date in February and some a little later. We just pray over them and thank you, Father, for knitting those little ones together within the womb. And we will be excited to meet them, certainly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verses 6 through 8. Jesus is speaking to the 12 disciples at this point, but this is what he says: "Go, rather, to the lost sheep of Israel, and as you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near." Boy, it is nearer, 2,000 years nearer than it was then. So heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, for freely you have received, freely give. And so we give in many ways. We give of our offerings here in the life of this church. We give as we minister to people all around us. Let's stand as we sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. So, Father, we do praise You. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for the health and life and strength that You give to us to be able to work. Forgive us, Lord, for times when we grumble and grump about getting up for the day, or we grump about our job. At times, Lord, we're blessed to even have them. And so we thank You for that, and that we can take the first fruits and bring it back to You into Your storehouse, for the work of this local church in this region where You have placed us to be a life-saving station. And help us to be that, Lord, that You would shine Your light through this congregation. So we thank You for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. And we confess our faith together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. Oh, that was a little weak. Good morning. Oh, that was better. It's good to see all of you here today. You can sit down there. Well, I have asked you a question. So, who's the Holy Spirit? God, right. He is God. Which part of the Godhead do you think He is? Is He like God the Father?
Well,
God the Father, He's the third person, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son who died for us, God the Father, creation, and God the Holy Spirit who lives where? Jesus is in heaven, God's in heaven, God the Father's in heaven, God the Son's in heaven. Where's the Holy Spirit? No, He's in us. Yes, He's in us. When we ask Jesus to come into our lives, we get the Holy Spirit, okay? So do you think, like, the Holy Spirit's kind of like Casper the ghost? Is that how it seems to you, like he's just a ghost around? You know, Casper the ghost, do you guys know who that is? No. Casper the ghost. Oh, we are old, aren't we? Yes. Anyway, how about the Force, Star Wars? Did you ever watch Star Wars?
Yeah.
And they say the Force is with you. Well, the Holy Spirit is way, way, way better than that, all right? So I'm going to show you a demonstration, all right? So here, I am just so thirsty because I've just been talking a lot today, okay? I'll admit. So I think I need to have a drink here first, so I'm just going to pour. Pour that in there. And that's milk. Right. I think I might have some. Oh, good gracious. I got it all over me. You're right. I think I might have some chocolate milk. Do you guys like chocolate milk? Oh, thank you. Yeah, I like it too. Oh, man. I really like it. Wow. Okay, so if you just let me have a second here, okay, I'm really sorry that I'm doing this in front of you, but I'm just really thirsty. I'm going to have some chocolate milk. Mm. What? Oh, this is not very tasty. I need to mix it?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, because look, where's all the chocolate?
On the bottom.
On the bottom, silly me. Oh, I'm just a little messy here. Okay, oh, what's happening? It's stirring up. And now it's what?
Brown.
Brown. And it's chocolate milk, okay? I know, whoops, there goes my notebook. I know you probably would want some of this, right? But I just can't. I'm sorry. So I'm just going to have to drink some. Let me see. Mmm. Mmm. Well, that's really good. Let me do another one. Oh. Mmm. That is so good. If you guys want some, you're going to have to ask your moms and your dads at home to get you some chocolate milk. You don't have to make it. It's already made, right? You do. Okay. Now listen here. So this is kind of like the Holy Spirit, okay? The milk, listen, the milk is like us. The white milk that I had in there, or, you know, it's not meaning our white skin or anything, but the milk is us. And the chocolate is the Holy Spirit, kind of like the Holy Spirit. So when we get Jesus in our heart, we get the Holy Spirit, right? The chocolate. And he's in there at the bottom. But what do I have to do to make him real to me and to get him to help me? I have to stir. I'm just terrible today, aren't I? I'm just dropping everything. We have to stir him up. We have to stir him up. Do you know, boys and girls, in John 14, 16, Jesus says, I am going to go to the Father. I'm going to leave you. He was telling his followers, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. And he's going to live with you forever. And he's like your counselor, like somebody who can help you when you feel sad. He's your comforter. When your grandma maybe passes away, or your dog or your cats or your toys get broken, or you aren't able to see your grandmothers or your great-grandfathers in the care center. You're sad, right? And he's your comforter. He's our helper. When you need help, he helps you. He's your strengthener. He's all these things inside of us. But if we don't ask him to help us, if we don't read our word every day and remember that he's inside of us, he like stays just in the bottom in there. He's just quiet because the Holy Spirit, he doesn't push his way on us. No, no. He wants us to ask him, help me with my schoolwork. Help me be strong. And then he's all stirred up and you can't tell which is which because he's in you. And then you get so full and then you start going, flowing over on other people. And you tell them, the Holy Spirit can live inside of you. Too much chocolate milk. And he's your helper. All right? So who lives inside of us? Which part of the Godhead? The Holy Spirit. Do we see him? He's not like Casper the Ghost. Nope, he's not like the forest be with you. He's in us. He's God that has chosen to live inside of us. But he wants us to stir him up, to stir ourselves up, knowing that he's our helper. So say, Holy Spirit, help me.
Holy Spirit.
This is how we do that. Holy Spirit, comfort me.
Holy Spirit,
strengthen me. Yeah, that's what we do. That's how we stir him up. So I'm going to challenge you, boys and girls. I'm challenging myself. This week, remember who lives inside of you. That's right. He does. He does live inside of us. And he's our helper. We got to stir him up, okay? All right, let's pray. Ready? Fold your hands, close your eyes. Lord, we thank you that you did not leave us by ourselves here. After Jesus ascended into heaven with you, God, you sent us the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, you, God, and the Holy Spirit is in us. Help us to stir him up inside of us by believing, by reading the word, by praying, by realizing no matter what we face in this life, boys and girls, We are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. Help us to tell others about that. Help us to stir ourselves up every day and be a blessing to others around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now don't forget, ask your mom and dads.
Thank you, Anne. While the children are going back to their seats, let's sing number 436, Freely, Freely You Have Received. It's what Jesus said, what I just read for the offering. 436. Let's bow our heads once more, please. Father, help us to obey. Certainly, freely we have received from you. We did nothing to deserve it. It was by grace, by faith alone in Christ alone. And help us to go and share the message of salvation. Help us to stand strong in you, Lord Jesus, and in the power of your might. Lord, again, as we look into your word this day, we thank you for speaking to our hearts and minds. I ask, Father, that my words would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they could be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of the living God. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I start reading, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One thing I forgot to mention, in the joys and concerns, Ann and I were able to see Les and Kathy Melhoff this last Thursday afternoon, and they appreciate all the prayers and cards as well. Kathy is his full-time caregiver, and he's still got that big old smile as always, and all things considering is doing pretty well. His words are very few. He does say some things, answer with a yes or no. But before we left, I said, let's just sing the chorus to How Great Thou Art. And he just sang that as perfect as anybody could ever sing it. It's so neat to see that. You probably too have seen it many times over in your lives in situations like this. So what we put in with God's word, still, when things aren't working otherwise, that just comes pouring out. by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you for your prayers for them as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. We read through this 2 weeks ago. We didn't get finished, so we're back on it today. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive all are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Amen. We'll stop there after the 12th verse. As we started through this, so if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, then get on YouTube or the website and listen through the first. If I go through all that again, we won't get done again today, would we? So Paul, he lived in very difficult times, suffered great persecution for his faith. We know that. And he's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to be writing this. Verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." And he said that, if I would have read to verse 16, he repeated it again, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, there's that song by Matthew West called "Take Heart." If you don't know it, listen to it. It's based on John 16:33, but ties right in with this. We do not lose heart. In other words, New Living says we never give up. Not losing heart, as I said, part of that is as we live our lives of faith and the challenges and trials of life come against us, that we don't get weary in well-doing. We don't get so discouraged we just want to quit. No, we keep at it. Part of it means as we stand against sin and the temptations of it, we don't give in or give up. We keep at it, standing strong in the Lord. So he says, since we have this, through God's mercy, we have this ministry, that doesn't mean that you have to be in the fivefold ministry. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and he is your Lord and Savior, you are in the ministry. In one form or another, you are. You are his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, if we go on there, he tells us you are the ambassadors of Christ, his representatives on this earth. That's something very sobering to think about. 2 Corinthians 5, he says, we are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you, to this world in which we live. The message we urge and we say is be reconciled to God. In other words, get saved. receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. We are his ambassadors. So what we're looking at here is, how did Paul stay steady in his life of faith when everyone was coming against him? Wherever he went, persecution waited him. Things beyond what we, at this point anyway, could ever imagine facing in our lives for Christ. Number one, we talked about his convictions. That's what held him steady, his convictions that are based on God's word, where Paul said there in the second verse, we do not use deception, we do not distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That last phrase, listen, it says this, we tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. We don't distort it. We don't use deception. So what if he's saying that, that meant at that time people did, which means if they did then, they do today. We talked about that too. Some of this, you know it. I say this often, but this verse right behind that we look at every Sunday, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's many that are distorting that. Oh, there's lots of ways. Lots of ways. We just mix it all together. Syncretism, the word that is used for mixing all different religions together, that's not of God. That's what the whole global thing and what the Antichrist is going to want and try to set up is a one-world religion. You know, if that were so, it would be nice. But it's not so. It goes against everything God's word preaches, everything Jesus declared. So we don't distort God's word. We stand on that, on these truths here. When he said in verse 5 there, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ, what was Paul saying there? To me, he wasn't saying we couldn't use examples. If anyone used examples, it was the Apostle Paul. Read through the epistles and he told of all the hardships he had been through, listed them out. I like to use examples as we bring it to today and our lives and how that applies. Not preaching ourselves. Paul was saying, it doesn't matter whether you accept or reject me because I am just God's servant. What matters is we preach Jesus. What do you do with him? And that's the question we are all going to be asked when we stand before the throne of God. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Well, you know, I know about him and all, but you know, that's not going to cut it, is it? When we're standing at the throne of God, that is not going to cut it. It's taking him as our Lord and our Savior. So secondly, we talked about what held Paul steady, what holds us steady. It should be our integrity. Again, not distorting the word of God. Paul knew who he was in Christ. God used him to bring all those truths in the New Testament to the church. In Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. And on we could go with these. There's several of them we went through. That was last year. We've done it more than once. That's part of our integrity, who we are, our character. We talk about that, who we are, when nobody is looking. David said in Psalm 78, verse 72, he said, well, he didn't say it. It says this about him. And David shepherded them, that's Israel, with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. So I want to come on to the third point here. That's really where we stopped at that point. He's aware of the battle. We have to be aware of the battle too. And during the whole shutdown time, and when she was doing the children's sermonette, it was all through the armor of God. Remember? She pretended like you were actually sitting out there. Oh, good answer. Good answer. I had some people ask me after those first couple recordings, are you letting other people come to church? I said, no. There's nobody there. Anne's just pretending there are, which is what we have to do, right? She did it good. We went through the armor of God. We are always in spiritual warfare every day of our lives. Verse 3. Look, even if our gospel is veiled, y'all know it's not too often today, in our day, where the bride has the veil that comes down. Sometimes you'll see it, but not very often. And the veil sort of covered the face, right? And where did that come from? It goes all the way back to Moses. When he came down, when God gave him the Ten Commandments, he's up there on Mount Sinai for those 40 days in the presence, the mighty, mighty presence of God. And when he comes down, that is just radiating from him. And the people are like, whoa. And they want him, put a veil over your face, Moses. Well, that's where part of that comes from. Actually, then, as that glory wore off, there were times he still kept the veil on for various reasons. But veiled means hidden, doesn't it? So back to that verse 3 there. Even if our gospel is hidden, let's say it that way, it is hidden to those who are perishing. Those who are perishing are the lost, those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. For the god of this age, who's that? Satan, the devil, that's the god, little g, of this age, of this, the world system in which we live. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Does that mean we just say, well, I guess it's so. There's nothing we can do about it. No, there is very much we can do about it and should be doing about it. And a big part of that is in prayer over those who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. So back to Satan being the god of this age, John 10:10, he's called the thief. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's all that he does. Those are his works. But Jesus said, the rest of the verse, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How about when Jesus in John 8:44, I think 2 weeks ago I had that wrong. I had chapter 18. It's chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, those religious leaders, and I tell you what, he was direct with them, wasn't he? He said, you belong to your father, the devil. That wouldn't be very popular today, would it? Oh, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's Satan, the god of this age, who blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of God shining on them. But what did, in verse 6, back to 2 Corinthians 4, it says this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. I mentioned this last time. Let light shine out of darkness. That's going back to Genesis 1, verse 3. Let there be what?
Light.
Yes. Let there be light. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, what an advantage to grow up in a God-fearing home, to be brought to Sunday school and church, to go through confirmation, to hear the Word of God from little on. I don't ever remember a time of not hearing it, as I'm guessing many, if not most of you, would testify to the same. That does not automatically save me or you. We have to come to that place, whenever it is, of salvation. But it sure is a blessing big blessing of someone who does not know it. So we pray, and it seems like that number, in the natural, it would appear. Seems like that number has grown larger and larger in our nation, which brings us to some of where we're at and what we're struggling with. There is a battle against the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And his goal, as I said, is to kill, steal, and destroy. His goal is to take as many lost to hell as he can. But we are not without hope. No, we pray. Some examples I tell you over the years, I guess in our 11 years with the Navajos, we saw such incredible things happen in this regard. There was a man that they lived behind us, middle-aged man. His wife came to church. He wanted nothing to do with it. He was in this peyote thing. Peyote is a hallucinogenic drug. But yet she'd get him to come sometimes. Sometime we'd have a tent revival for a week in the evenings every summer. Set up a big tent outside, and we didn't have mosquitoes in Arizona. You know that? And so he came. He would come. We'd pray for the sick often at the end of the service. We spent time for that. And so on occasion, as we're praying, he would see somebody fall. And he said to me one time, "You're just pushing them over." "I know you are." I am doing no such thing. I'm just praying for this person. Whatever God does, he does. Well, so this one night, he had something going on in his body, physically. He came up for prayer. I don't remember what it was. Prayed for him. Down he goes. You might think, "Oh, Pastor Mike, you mean you've done that?" "I haven't done anything." "Well, I thought that's just all fake, fake, fake." Well, it can be. Yeah, it can be. But there can be a real side of it too. So pray for him. Down he goes. I'm like, "Whatever, Lord." The next day, his wife comes to me. His name was Roy. She says, "Pastor Mike, Roy told me this morning that whatever the ailment was, is gone, number one. Secondly, he said in his mind, when I go up there, I'm standing there. And nothing's happened to me like that." And he said, I thought surely that whole tent flipped over and I was going to be the only one standing up. And he was the only one laying down. So he still did. So God, we prayed for him. What I'm getting at is prayer. See, his eyes were blinded to the truth. Sometimes God will use signs and wonders, okay? That's up to him. But that it got his curiosity going. Still not quite. I don't know, a few years later, whatever it was, he would rarely come to church because he was in that peyote garbage. False religion. So ingrained, blinded. We kept praying, praying, praying. One time, this was in the worst of the time, in Nathan's health crisis, about eighth grade, we were in Phoenix at the hospital with him, and which was 3-4 hours away. It had been an exhausting week. Come home late at night, just get to bed, and the phone rings. Mike, so it's Roy's wife. Roy is home. He has all the symptoms of the heart attack happening, but he's refusing to go to the doctor. "Would you come and pray for him?" He said to me, "Call Pastor Mike to come." Did I feel like coming? I'm telling you, I did not feel like coming. I was already in bed. "Yes, I will be there, Mary. Let me get dressed." So go over. There he is. Serious pains going on in his chest, moaning, squirming, and I'm thinking, "Yeah, you should be at the doctor." "Okay, we're going to pray." And the lights, "Thank you." Oh, that was a little one. Wow. Talking about a sign. "Thank you." Anyway, I just prayed for him, put my hands on his chest in Jesus' name. And all of, did I feel anything? No. Would pray by faith. All of a sudden, the tears start rolling, and in Navajo, he starts saying, "It doesn't hurt, it doesn't hurt. It's gone, I'm healed." And he gets up and starts moving around, and his wife said, "He hasn't been out of that bed all day." You know what? Those two things led to his salvation. However God does it, that's up to him by the Holy Spirit. He draws people to himself. In this man's case, he used two pretty amazing miracles. How do we see that often? I don't know. Not so often, but he does it. He does it. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So we have to be earnest in prayer for them, asking God to shine his light in their hearts, praying against the powers of darkness in Jesus' name, because we have the authority to do that, not in ourselves, but in his name alone. In Jesus' name, Satan, we stand against you, as you have no power or authority over so-and-so. We all have a friend or relative we can put in that blank, don't we? And we pray, Lord, let the light of your gospel shine in his or her heart that they could see the truth. And so he does. So he does. We better get on to number four so we can finish this part today. Paul was aware of the responsibility. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. I love that verse. There's a contemporary singing group called Jars of Clay, comes right off that verse. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Anything that happens, it is because of the work of Almighty God, His Spirit, His Word, not because of us. We are just jars of clay. Clay made from the earth. And what did God say to Adam in Genesis there, chapter 3, after when he was pronouncing the curse because of their sin? Part of what he said to Adam was, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And we know that's how it is. The whole decaying process, right? We're jars of clay. What? Jars of clay, in that day, those were just the common, everyday containers they used. Like our today, our pots and pans, our plastic bottles, very disposable. That's what they're jars of clay. They were fragile. They were easily breakable. They would crack. Ever been told you're a cracked pot? Well, sometimes we are, I guess, right? Sometimes we leak, whatever. But jars of clay, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Why? Why that? So that God gets all the glory for what happens. The glory is not ours. It is His. We are just His vessels. Anne had 2 weeks ago, she had two pieces of the Navajo pottery there. The traditional Navajo pottery, it's very plain. They know on the side of the cliffs, and there's lots of mesas and all of that out there if you've ever been, and they could, many times driving along, they would say to me or to Ann, "Look, see that cliff over there? Yeah. Can you see that bend that's just that certain color? Okay, I'm trying to talk witch because there's lots of colors in there. No, and no, it's that dark brown band that goes across there. Well, is it right below the lighter band or is it below the..." Well, finally you just say, "I see it," even though I didn't really see it. Which one? That is where we get our clay from, right there. They'd climb up there, they'd get it, and they make their pots. So, and very simple, very practical though. Would they break? Yeah. Crack? Yeah. Yes. That's what we are. But yet God chooses to put his treasure. So what is the treasurer? Number one, what Ann talked with the kids about, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. That's the treasure we have in these jars of clay. Second, it'd be the gospel message or the ministry of reconciliation, what I said earlier. Presenting the gospel message. God uses just ordinary people to take the message of Jesus Christ around this world to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That's an amazing responsibility, I think. When I really think on that, I hope for you too, it almost, as the song says, makes me tremble. That God would choose us to pour his Spirit within us. Did we deserve it? No. Are we good enough for it? No, not in the least. But he's there, and if because you are in him, the Holy Spirit is in you. That night when I prayed for that man, that was, I hate to say, but I'll just be honest, the last thing I felt like doing. I was wiped out from all we had been through that week. Did I feel like I had any oomph left in me to go over there? No. But I had to remind myself of who lived within me. It wasn't about me and how I felt. It's about the Holy Spirit of God and who he is, and let him do his work. So we preach Jesus through all of this. The verse 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we are hard pressed on every side. Boy, it can seem like that, can't it, at times? You can be like, man, what else? What else is going to happen? It feels that way at times, doesn't it? We are hard-pressed on every side, but what? We're not crushed. Nope, we are not crushed. Going on, we are perplexed. Perplexed means filled with uncertainty, confusion. I don't know. Boy, we've had a year of perplexity, haven't we, with all that we've been through. Lord, wow. But what? But not in despair. Despair means hopelessness. No, there is always hope because he is the God of all hope. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. Talked about this before. You think about Nazi Germany and what the Jewish people endured. You think about those Corrie ten Boom, those Dutch people, the underground that they had, rescuing those Jews from the hands of the Nazi at the price of their own lives. I love that movie, The Hiding Place, of what they did and how they made good out of every impossible situation. That place where the women were in those barracks on that concentration camp full of fleas. And the one sister, I forget, Corrie and... don't remember the sister's name. Corrie's faith was so strong. As Corrie prayed, she said, Lord, I even thank you for the fleas. The sister says, are you serious? You're thanking God for the fleas? She said, hey... it's because all the fleas in here, the guards do not want to come in, and we are free to share the gospel. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why did God choose us to be this jar of clay to carry about his treasure? Again, so that he receives all the glory. And so he does. One verse just in closing from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, which Paul sort of reiterates this. He said, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so we preach Jesus, not ourselves, but him. These are things, if you think through those again as this week goes on, that should help us to... keep steady. Hold steady in your walk with the Lord. In your faith, we hold steady because he has the final say so. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, for you are so faithful. You are the faithful one. Yes, Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. And you know, sometimes we do doubt. Sometimes we do get discouraged. Sometimes we wonder. But you always lift us up by your Spirit. And we get going again. And we fix our eyes on you. Because you live, Jesus, we can face tomorrow. Thank you, Father, for this congregation, for this special day as we go to our annual meeting soon. Thank you for your guiding hand upon us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. And so we are going to sing Because He Lives as our closing hymn, number 358. Let's stand and sing this out and play the organ with some volume. God sent His Son. Receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. If you'll let me have a prayer for the meal, and then we'll sing God Bless America. Father, so thank you for the women of the church, those that have worked hard on preparing this and those that will help to serve, and for all the women of the church who work so hard in the life of this congregation. Bless them. And Lord, we ask that you bless this food to the nourishment and strength of our bodies. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now as a prayer for our nation, we sing, God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her. Through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my
Man, you may be seated. Thank you, Cindy, for the music. Again, stay for dinner. If you're visiting, we have plenty there. You're welcome to join us.